and the verse number 18. Let us hear God's word as we read it together this evening. The sons of Reuben and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh, of valiant men, men able to bear buckler and sword and to shoot with bow and skilled in war, were 44,730 that went out to the war. And they made war with the Hagarites, with Jetur, and with Nethesh and Nodab, and they were helped against them. And the Hagarites were delivered into their hand, and all that were with them, for they cried to God in the battle. And he was entreated of them, because they put their trust in him. And they took away their cattle, and of their camels 50,000, and of sheep 200, and 50,000, and of asses 2,000, and of men 100,000. And there fell down many slain, because the war was of God, and they dwelt in their steads until the captivity. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 22. Our prayer is God will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. The verse I want us just to look at tonight before we get down to prayer is verse 20 there of that chapter. It says, and they were helped against them, and the Hagarites were delivered into their hand, and all that were with them, for they cried to God in the battle, and he was entreated of them, because they put their trust in him. Now, our Bible reading here tonight really records and tells of the tribes of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh being victorious over a confederacy of nations that were against them. Now, Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh in the providence of God had settled on the east side of the River Jordan. Thus, there in that position on the east of Jordan, they were prone to attack from invaders. And some of those here who were in this confederacy against them at this time, the Bible would show us that they were the descendants, the direct descendants of Ishmael. They were Arab nations. And the descendants of Ishmael were known for their violence. They were known for their ferocity. But verse 22 of the chapter there tells us how the war was of God. If you look at verse 22, it says, for there fell down many slain because the war was of God. And here you see that Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh were acting in self-defense. It was a just war because these enemies had come in upon them. And in fighting this enemy, we're told how they had an army of some 44,760 men. It was a vast army. And you read about the description there of the army of Reuben and Gad and half-tribe of Manasseh in verses 18 and 19. It says, the sons of Reuben and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, of valiant men, men able to bear buckler and sword and to shoot with bow and skillful in war, were 44,730 that went out to war. And they made war with the Hagarites, with Jetur and Nephesh and Nobad. There you see there was a vast army. This army was skillful, you see, from what is said there in verse 18. This was an army that was well trained. This was an army that was prepared for battle. This was an army that was courageous. And it was also an army, as well as being vast and courageous and well-trained, it was an army that was victorious. And you see that in particular from what is said there in the middle of verse 20 of the chapter, which says, the Hagarites were delivered into their hands. They were victorious in that time of battle. And tonight, just very briefly, I want us just to look at the secret behind their victory. What was the secret behind their victory? Well, as God's people, this is important to us because why? You and I also, we too are engaged in a constant warfare. As believers and as members of the Church of Christ, we are in a constant battle. A warfare, a battle that never ends for the Christian until the believer is taken from this world and from the scene of time, and that warfare is with the world, the flesh, and the devil, and all that is opposed to God. And regarding that warfare, the Bible says to you and I as Christians that we are to fight the good fight of faith. And there's no getting away from this battle, this warfare in the Christian life. And if we are to know victory in our work and in our witness for Christ, then I believe it's important that we look at the victory here behind Reuben and Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh. And that being the case, then what then was the pathway to victory for these tribes at this particular time? Well, first of all, we can say that the pathway to victory here was a pathway that was marked by unity. You see, there was unity amongst this army from Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh. They were from different backgrounds. They were from different tribes in the nation of Israel, but there was a unity amongst them. There was a oneness. There was an accord. And this unity is emphasized in our Bible reading tonight by the constant use of the word they, by the Holy Ghost, as this scripture is recorded. And look at how verse 19 begins. It says, "And they made war with the Hagarites." Look again at verse number 20. It says, "And they were helped against them." And then down in the middle of verse number 20, it says, "For they cried to God." And then at the end of verse 20, it says, "And they put their trust in him." And then in verse 21, it says, "And they took away their cattle." And then down at the end of verse 22, it says, "And they dwelt in their steads until the captivity." And no word in Scripture is, as it were, a mere coincidence. No. Every word, every jot, every tittle of God is ordered and ordained by the counsel of God in the Scriptures of truth. And by the constant repetition here of this word, they, what is God saying to you and I? Showing us here how here was an army that was united in the battle and the cause at this particular time. They were of one accord. They were of one spirit in the battle. I believe they're very similar here on this occasion to the men of Zebulun. If you turn over in your Bible just a few chapters to 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12 and the verse number 33. And here you read of the tribe of Zebulun in battle, and look at what it says about them. 1 Chronicles 12 verse 33. It says, "Of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, of all instruments of war, 50,000, notice it, which could keep rank. And they were not of a double heart." That really means that they were united. They were going forward as one into the battle, into the fray, to take on the enemy. They were together in this. They were, as it were, joined in this battle. There was accord. And dear people of God, brethren and sisters in Christ, the lesson here surely is very plain to us as God's people. And it is this: if we are to see victory and no blessing in God's work, then also we too must be united in the cause of Christ, united around the Word of God, united in the work of God. Yes, as God's people, we must support and help and encourage and rally around one another in the work of God and in the things of God. How vital this is. What was the mark of the early New Testament church? A church that was despised by the world, just a handful of people. No might, humanly speaking, against the world. Yet you read in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And they were all with one accord in one place." They were united together, glued together, so to speak, around the Lord, around the things of God, and in the battles of the Lord. Now, whenever a company of soldiers are on the battlefield, that company, when it goes out to fight the enemy, it always fights as one unit. That company of men support each other in taking on the army, taking on the enemy in the battle and in the fight that is before them. And likewise, as God's people, we too are to be one. This is so important. We're to be one in fighting the good fight of faith. You think of what the hymn writer says. It's a great hymn we often love to sing. And it emphasizes this very point. The hymn writer says, like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, and one in charity. And my, they were emphasizing the great need, the great reality of unity amongst the people of God in the battles of God and in the cause of Christ. What does it say in Psalm 133? Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. And people, the first lesson we see here is that a victorious church is a united church. But notice in the second place tonight, the pathway to victory is also a pathway that is marked by reliance upon the Lord. Look at what you read there at the end of verse number 20 of 1 Chronicles chapter number 5 about these men in the army of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh. It says regarding the Lord that they put their trust in him. That speaks of reliance upon the Lord. That speaks of an army here that was stayed upon the Lord. As the hymn writer says, stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. This is how it was with these soldiers. The army here from the tribes of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh, as they went to take on this enemy and was a vast enemy against them, they were not relying upon their numbers. They were not relying upon their skill or upon their training. They were not even relying upon their own valor or upon their own courage. No, their whole trust was in the Lord. Their whole trust was upon the Lord. They relied here upon the Lord. It says they put their trust in him. And they were relying here upon the Lord's help, upon the Lord's power, upon the Lord's providence, upon the Lord's blessing. There was no confiding here in self, no confiding here in man. They relied upon the Lord as they went to take on the enemy in the battle. And believer, can I say this is the example that you and I also must follow if we are to see victory in our work for Christ and in our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We must rely upon the Lord. As the hymn writer says, leaning upon the everlasting arms. And we need to lean more and more upon the Lord, rest upon the Lord, rely upon him. Highlighting this very truth, Martin Luther, the reformer, said, faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace. It is so sure and certain that a man could stake his life upon it 1,000 times. He was emphasizing the need for reliance upon the Lord. And that's what we are to do. That's the example we are to follow. And people of God, the Bible warns you and I that it is folly. It is folly for us to rely upon ourselves. It is folly for us to rely upon man. It is folly for us to rely upon the world. The Bible says, vain is the help of man. It says in Isaiah 31, verse 1, it says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help there. And that was addressed to God's people. In Egypt, there is a picture. It's a type of the world. They were warned not to rely upon anything of man or of self or of the world in the work of God and in our witness for Christ. Oh, the Bible shows us that it is better, much better, to trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord's help, his power, his providence. Psalm 124, verse 8 says, our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. We're to trust in him. Think of the testimony of Paul in Romans 8, verse 37. Speaking of the Lord, he says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Paul rested upon the Lord. He relied upon the Lord. He could say, our sufficiency is of God. And the Bible says to you and I as Christians, it says, have faith in God. We're to lean upon the Lord. We're to rely upon him. Turn over to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Look with me, please, at verse number 6. One of the great verses on faith in the Bible. Perhaps the key here to the whole chapter of Hebrews chapter 11. It says, but without faith, It is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That speaks of reliance upon the Lord. The word faith has often been defined in the little acrostic, forsaking all others, I trust in him. And in every aspect of God's work, in every aspect of our Christian life and witness, we must rely upon the Lord who is almighty, the Lord who is all-seeing, and the Lord who is all-present. Yes, we can say tonight in the second place that a victorious church, it's a church that relies upon the Lord. But one final thought tonight, just from our text. The pathway to victory is also a pathway that is marked by prayer. You look again at verse number 20. Look at what it says about the men of Gad and Reuben and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Right there in the very middle of verse number 20, of 1 Chronicles chapter number 5, it says, and they cried to God in the battle. That speaks of prayer. Here was an army that prayed. They cried to God in the battle. You will see there from the words that are given that their prayer was earnest. It says they cried. That speaks of earnestness in the place of prayer. Their prayer was persistent, for it says they cried to God in the battle. As the battle was going on and waging all around them, they were crying to God. No doubt their prayer also was victorious, for notice what it says there in verse number 20. It says they were helped. They had divine help, a divine intervention. And it says, and God was entreated of them. He favored them. He heard their cry. He answered their prayer. He intervened in their behalf. And he enabled them to defeat their enemies in a mighty and spectacular way at this time. Look at verse 21. Look at verse number 22. It says, and they took away their cattle of their camels, 50,000, and of their sheep, 250,000. And of asses 2,000, and of men 100,000, for there fell down many slain, because the war was of God, and they dwelt in their steads until their captivity. They were victorious. Their prayer was answered. And the action here of this army is very similar to the tribe of Judah. In the midst of their battle, what does it say about Judah in 2 Chronicles 13, verse 14? It says, they cried unto the Lord in the midst of the battle. Brethren and sisters in Christ, need I emphasize the point tonight? The point surely is this, here that's set before us, that believing prayer, earnest prayer, persistent prayer to the God of our salvation has always been the pathway to victory, the pathway to blessing in the work of God and in the cause of Christ. And that is why we must pray. That is why the prayer meeting is so important, so vital to the church of Christ and to the work of God. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Christ said to his disciples, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Remember Peter put in prison, it says in Acts 12, verse 5, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. The church prayed and they sought the Lord and they called upon the name of the Lord. And my, we are to do the same. That's the example that is set before us in the scriptures. And in God's work, we must pray. We must pray for souls and ask God to save souls. We must pray for growth, for advancement in the work of God. We must pray for new doors to be opened up for the proclamation of the Word of God. We can pray and ask God to bring in new families and young families and our congregation here. God is able to do that, something we should be asking God for and beseeching the throne of grace for. Every aspect of the work of God, we can pray and ask for God's help. Also in our own times of need, personally, maybe times of great distress, times of great trial, what are we to do? We're to pray. We're to seek God and to call upon God's name as his children. Turn with me over to Psalm 100 and 18, Psalm 118 and the verse number 5. Psalm 118 and the verse number 5. Look at the example here of David and his distress. What did he do? Psalm 118, verse 5, he says, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. And that distress refers to the time in particular when David was being pursued and harassed by Saul, hunted like a partridge, like a bird of prey upon the mountains. And in his distress, he called upon the Lord, and the Lord answered him. He says, he set me in a large place. He protected me, he says, from Saul and his men gathering around him. And what are we to do in our distress? We're to cry to God. Am I speaking to one in the meeting tonight and you're in distress over some matter that concerns you? Maybe family, whatever, circumstances, work, whatever, different circumstances, whatever they are. Pray, dear believer, ask the Lord, seek the Lord. Call upon his name in your time of need. Also in times of national crisis, surely the example here is the same for us. We are to pray. We're to ask God for deliverance. We are to seek God for divine intervention. And surely this is a time of national crisis in our land, in our nation. When we think of the virus and really man's weakness to deal with it, how we need to seek God and call upon God for deliverance and for intervention at this time, that God would have mercy upon us and upon our land. It is said before the great battle of Lützen and 1632, during the 30 Years' War, that the King of Sweden, he prayed. And this is what he prayed. He said, Jesus voucheth this day to be my strong helper. Give me courage to fight for the honor of thy name. As he went out into battle, he sought the Lord for help and for blessing. It has been said that prayer without trust is unbelief, and that trust without prayer is presumption. But prayer and trust is victory. Brethren and sisters in Christ, by God's grace, may this be our testimony. Yes, we see here from the Word of God that a victorious church is a praying church. May God bless His Word and write these few thoughts upon our hearts and upon our souls, and may they be an encouragement and a blessing and a challenge to us this evening. We'll just get down to